And we're holding on Yud Gimel, Amr Aleph, fourth line. We started talking yesterday about what kinds of Kodshim Kalim are considered to be the owner's property, which was relevant as far as the question. We said, since the Mishnah had said that when the dinim of Nezifin apply, only if it's mama, only if it's something Kod Nechosim She'in Ben Me'ila, property to which Me'ila doesn't apply. So we inferred from that that it means that even though Me'ila doesn't apply, but there's still Kodshim. That, therefore, would have to refer to Kodshim Kalim, which, like we learned yesterday, Kodshim Kalim are not subject to the dinim of Me'ila until they're actually shechted and the blood sprinkled, and then at that point the Imurim become Chayiv and Me'ila, because those are what are to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So we said specifically, our Mishnah then would be appointed of Yosef Aglili, who holds that such Kodshim are considered the Mammon of the owner. And so we were talking the ins and outs of that, including what kind of Kodshim Kalim are we talking about. One thing we just said is that a Bechor is different than most of the other ones, because a Bechor, since a Bechor is one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna, therefore even when it's alive, it's considered that it's not really the Kohen's property. But to be exact, what we said is a Bechor nowadays, since you can't bring it as a Kohen anyhow, then therefore the Kohenim are able to be Zotin. When the Beis Mikdash is standing, then not, because then it's expected it's going to be brought as a Kohen, and Mishochan Gavoya Kazahu. So now the Gemara says Gufa, getting back to the main Braisa that we quoted earlier. We said, when the Pasuk says Mala Mal Bashem, where we said the context of that Pasuk is talking about where a person denies a claim that another person, that another Yid makes against him and swears falsely. For example, Reuven was masked something by Shimon, and then when he comes to collect it, then Shimon falsely claims that it was never deposited in the first place, or that something happened to it, which would make him potter or whatever. So the Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes over there that when Shimon is ready to do, and Shimon swore falsely on it, when Shimon is ready to do tshuva, then he'll have to pay a keren b'choymesh, he'll have to pay he'll have to pay Reuven an extra 25%, as well as he'll have to bring a korban asham. The Pasuk introduces it with the words, mala mal b'ashem. And we said from that we learn that we're talking about something which is kind of a me'ila against Hashem and against the other person. Says Rabbi Yosef Aglili, l'rabbis kodshim kalim shem amoyne divir Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili says from this you learn that also this concept of Hashem Gzelus and that whole thing would apply to kodshim kalim, which are considered the mammon of the person. And as we discussed yesterday, what kodshim kalim are we talking about? That's the question. But in other words, let's say, for example, a shlomim. If Reuven deposits for safekeeping an animal of shlomim by Shimon, and later on Shimon denies receiving it, etc., then Shimon is going to have to go through this whole thing of keren v'choy meshvashem. Rivet Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Ben Azay Omer L'Rabbis Tashlomim. Ben Azay says the words of mal amal b'ashem come to include shlomim. Rashi learns that Ben Azai is not arguing on Rabbi Yosef Aglili, he's explaining what he's saying. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili had said, Kodshim Kalim, and Ben Azai is explaining that it means shlomim as well as other kinds of Kodshim Kalim. There are Rishonim, the Raivad in particular, who learn that he's actually arguing that Rabbi Yosef Aglili would say across the board, and Abishol, not Abishol, and Ben Azai would be saying only Lurabas the Shlomim, though only including Shlomim by that. Abba Yosef Ben Destoy Omer, like Omer Ben Azai Ella B'Bchor Bilvad. On the other hand, Abba Yosef Ben Destoy says, within Ben Azai's opinion, Ben Azai is only talking about a Bechor. So we had the first version of Ben Azai that we had was that it's a Shlomim. The second version is, Abba Yossi's version is that he's talking only about a Bechor, that only that would be considered the Mammon of the owner. Okay, so now let's analyze that Braisa. So Omar, Ben Azai Omer L'Rabbis the Shlomim. When Ben Azai says that the Pasuk Mal Amal Bashem is coming to include Shlomim, the question is, so again, it sounds like he's saying only by shlomim, l'ma'uti mai, as opposed to what? What is he coming to exclude? So if we learn like Rashi, that Ben Azai is not arguing on Rabbi Yosef Glili, then it means Rabbi Yosef Glili had said Kodshim Kalim, and Ben Azai specifies specifically what kind of Kodshim Kalim does Rabbi Yosef Glili mean. He means Shlomim. Again, according to the Raiva, they're actually arguing. But whatever, the point is that Ben Azai, if Ben Azai had used the expression L'rabbis apes ha-shlomim, then it would mean shlomim plus something else. L'rabbis ha-shlomim implies that he wants to say that only shlomim are included in this. So l'ma'otimai, as opposed to what other kind of kodshim kalim, is Ben Azai coming to exclude. Ilema l'ma'oti b'chur, are you going to say that he's coming with that to exclude a b'chur, so that if Reuven goes and deposits for safekeeping a b'chur, an animal b'chur with Shimon, then this din would not apply, even according to Rabbi Yosef Levi. Well, why is that? Kashka, let's consider. Umash shlomim shetounen smicha, madach shlomim, which are more stringent than a b'chur, they're more like regular kodshim, in that they require smicha. You have to lean your hands on the animal before. Rashi says, by the way, are we talking about to be, when we say l'ma'oti b'chur, do we mean to exclude a b'chur in chutz la'aretz? Where, again, a b'chur in chutz la'aretz is not necessarily going to be brought as a korban, as we talked about yesterday. You have different opinions whether if it's brought to Eretz Yisrael, whether we're makriv it or not. So we said that Reb Shimon had said imbo tumim yikaru, if they do bring a b'chor as a tumim to Eretz Yisrael, then we do bring it as a korban. And then you have a different opinion, Reb Akiva, who says that no, you don't do that. Anyway, so are you going to be saying that Ben Azai is coming to exclude a b'chor in chutz la'aretz, and you're going to say that since it can't be brought as a korban, then therefore you can't consider it the mamun of Hashem? It has to be considered mamun bailim. So are you going to say that? The question is, hashda, consider, umash shlomim shetounen smicha, madach shlomim, which are like a regular korban, they are to actually be brought as a korban, and they require smicha. You have to lean your hands on them before you shech the animal. Unesachim, and you have to bring the sachim of flour and wine and oil together with it, as with many other korbanos. Utnufas chaz v'shoik, and you need to wave the breast and thigh of the animal before you give them to the kohen. Amit mamun bailim hu, and you're still saying that. You're still saying Ben Azai is considering that mamun bailim, even though you're doing so many things with it that demonstrate that it's chodshim. B'chor miboya. Would you need to say by a b'chor, especially a b'chor in chutz la'aretz? Why would Ben Azai be excluding a b'chor from Rabbi Yosi Agrivi's din and say that, and say that that's not considered mamun bailim? El amr Rabbi Yechon l'ma'utin ma'aser. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what Ben Azai means when he says l'rabbis shlomim, he's saying shlomim yes, and b'chor apparently yes, but to exclude ma'aser. Kedetanya, as we learn in a b'raisa, that there's a difference. A b'chor, like we learned yesterday, you are allowed to sell under certain circumstances, but now ma'aser essentially is brought as a shlomim as well. I mean, it's not exactly the procedure of it. It's not exactly the same as a shlomim. We say in morning davening in Ezer Mokoyman that the blood of it is applied to the Mizbeach differently, but basically it is brought as something similar to a shlomim, and it has pretty much the same dinim. So kiddetani, as we learn in a brisa, b'chor nema loisifte, by b'chor, it says the expression in the pasuk loisifte, you cannot redeem it, and that means the nim, but it means you can't redeem it, it means you can't take the kedusha off it. Nevertheless, the nimkar, but you could sell a b'chor, tam chai, when the animal is a b'chor, when the animal is a tam, you could sell it only when it's alive, and then the other person will bring it as the korban that he's supposed to. Or bal mum chai v'shachot, if it's a bal mum and you're anyway not bringing it as a korban, or nowadays, where you can't bring it as a korban, then you can sell it whether it's alive or whether it's shechted. You after it's shechted, once it developed a mum, then you have somebody check out the mum, and then you shecht it, then you can sell the meat. You do have, Rashi points out, there are going to be restrictions on how you can sell it. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, you can't sell it in the butcher shop. You can't weigh it in the normal way, because that would be treating kodshim disrespectfully. But nevertheless, you are allowed to sell it. On the other hand, the meiser nemal lo yigoil, by meiser it uses the expression it shall not be yigoil. You poda and yigoil, to poda and yigoil, both mean to redeem. And it actually refers to a Gemara in Bechoris that explains that the word lo yigoil over here, unlike the lo sifter by Bechor, which means you're not allowed to do anything to it that will take away the kedusha. So you can't be poided for another animal and say the other animal will get the kedusha of the Bechor and this will not. It doesn't work that way, but you can sell it. On the other hand, when we say lo yigoil by Meiser, we learn by Xera Shava from Cherem, that it means that you can't sell it either. Whereby by Charomim it says lo yimocher v'lo yigoil. So here also by Maisa, when it says lo yigoil, means you can't sell it either. So therefore, so ve'inen nimka lo chay v'lo shachot lo tam v'lo ba'amom. So you're not allowed to sell Maisa Sheni, and not Maisa Sheni. You're not allowed to sell an animal of Maisa Behema, whether it's alive or shechted, whether it's a tam or a ba'amom. So therefore, we see that it's not considered mum and bailin. So when Ben Aze is saying the Rabbis is a shlomim, that would be what he means. He means that shlomim are considered within Rabbi Yosef Aglili's opinion, according to Rashi, are considered mum and bailim, and therefore if Reuven deposits a shlomim, an animal of shlomim for safekeeping by Shimon, and then Shimon afterward denies it or does or whatever or claims that something happened to it that would make him potter, then he and swears on it, then all the dinim of Hashem Gzelus apply to him. And Ben Aze is saying that would apply to a shlomim. We said it would apply to a bechor as well, but it wouldn't apply to Maisa Behema if the same scenario happens involving an animal of Maisa Behema. Because as we're saying, Maisa Behema is different, because in fact you can't sell it, and you can't sell it at all, so it's considered less your mammon. Incidentally, Shittim Ukubetzis brings an interesting point over here. Given that the Gemara is calling Maisa Behema similar to shlomim, that might imply that when you're bringing Maisa Behema as a korban, as you would in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, that you would actually waive the chaz of a shoik of it, which you do by a shlomim and you do by a toida. So the Shittim Ukubetzis mentions maybe in fact you do that by a Maisa as well on the basis of this Gemara. Anyway, so all that is one way of understanding what Ben Azai is saying. Now, Ravina Masni La Sefer. On the other hand, Ravina says that this discussion of what kind of korban we're talking about refers it to the Sefer, not to Ben Azai's statement, but rather to Abba Yossi Ben Destroy's statement. We said Abba Yossi Ben Destroy and the Loyam of Ben Azai El Bechor Bovad, where he says that Ben Azai is talking only about a Bechor. In other words, so in the first version, in Ben Azai's own statement, we said that it means to come to include a Shlomim, and we were trying to figure out a Shlomim as opposed to what, and we ended up saying Maisa Behema. Now, in the second version, Ravina is saying that actually that discussion before about what kind of animal we're talking about is referring to Abba Yossi's statement. So, l'mo'otimai, when he says, loy omer ben azai ela b'bechor bilvad, so he would say, in other words, only a bechor does that concept apply to, that it's considered mum and bailim, but not the other kinds of korbanos, so as opposed to what? Which kind of korban specifically is he excluding by that? Ilem l'mo'otit shlomim, are you going to say that he comes to exclude shlomim by that? Why? Hashta, consider ma bechor shekodesh merechem mamoinahu. Consider a bechor is holy from when it's born, and still mamoinahu, and still you're considering it to be, his mamon. Shlomim, according to Abba Yosef ben Destoy, who clearly said that shlomim meboya. Would you need to say that shlomim are considered his mamon? Now, in the first version, we said on the other hand, shlomim requires smicha and mesachim and so on and so forth. But now in the second version, we're taking the opposite view. We're arguing that the fact that a bechor from when it was born is earmarked as a korban, as opposed to a shlomim, is not necessarily. So we could say, on the contrary, the shlomim, there's more of a reason to consider it mum and bailim. Why would Abba Yossi be excluding it and saying that it's not? So
So, okay, so there is actually, okay, so, so, so there is, so, 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 now before when we started the Sugya on your days on days, we talked about that we're saying that there's a difference between a Bechor and Chosvar, that's where you can't bring it as a carbon anyway, so, as opposed to a Bechor in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Beis Mikdash, where you're able to bring it as a carbon. So you have different Rishonim that discuss different possibilities in the Gemara over here. Maybe in fact the Ravid in fact says that even a Bechor and Chosvar that is considered still has a greater kedusha than Shlomim because it was born as a Bechor where Shlomim was not born as a Shlomim. And then you have when we said earlier on your days and the days that we are talking about a Bechor and Chosvar that. Tosfos Ravina Peretz says that actually here this is a different Ravina. There were historically two Ravinas. One was the Chaver of Rav Ashi and the other one was the nephew of the first one. He's the last of Avadoyim. So this could be a different Ravina. And he holds, in fact, that we are even talking about a Bechor over here in Eretz Yisrael. And it would be considered Mom and Bailim, and then all the more so the Shlomim should be, given that the Shlomim wasn't even born as a Shlomim. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yochanan l'mu'uti ma'aser. In that case, the answer would be that, it's also possible then, given that Rabbi Yochanan is answering to that, and Rabbi Yochanan lived long before either Ravina, it's very possible that the Ravina over here maybe is supposed to be actually Rabbanoi, who was a Talmud of Shmuel, and we find him quoted here and there in Shas. In that case, that would put him in Rabbi Yochanan's times. Anyway, Amar Rabbi Yochanan l'mu'uti ma'aser. So Rabbi Yochanan says, by that, Abba Yossi wants to exclude Meiser. So in the first version, we also said that Rabbi Yochanan said that that Ben Azai is coming to exclude Meiser, and we explained because you can't sell Meiser. So now in the second version, Rabbi Yochanan is using the same answer. Kedetanya, as we learn in a Braisa, b'b'chor nema loisif, thereby b'chor it says you can't redeem it, v'nimka tam chaya ba'amum chaya v'shachot, but you are allowed, even though you're not allowed to redeem it, you are allowed to sell it to somebody. If it's a tam, you can sell it only when it's alive, because as a tam, you have to bring it as a carbon, or nowadays you have to wait till it develops some mum, so you can't be shechting it. Or ba'amum chaya v'shachot, if the b'chor is a ba'amum, then you can sell it alive or shechted, because then already you're allowed to eat it anyway. But Maisa, Nemelo Yigoyal, by Maisa, it says you can't redeem it. We're using a different expression. And again, we said that Yigoyal refers also to selling. And therefore, Ve'en Nimka, Le Chai, Le Shochot, Le Tam, Le Balmum. And therefore, you can't sell it either alive or shechted, Tam or Balmum. So we can use the same answer as before, just the same way as in the first, version of the discussion that Ben Azai was saying, the Rabbis the Shlomim, and he said by that he means to imply, but not Meiser, the same way in the second version, when Abba Yossi is saying, Loi Omer Ben Azai Ela B'Bechor Bovad, he wants to exclude by that, he's not excluding by that Shlomim, he's excluding by that, he's excluding by that Meiser Behemah. The problem with that is, the problem with that is that Abba Yossi ben Distoy uses the expression the Loi Omer ben Azai Ela B'Bechor Bilvad, which implies that he understands Ben Azai's statement to be referring exclusively to a Bechor. So how can you say that according to him it would include Bechor and it would include Shlomim as well, and we're only excluding Maisa Behema? And the Gemara says Kasha. It is a Kasha, how we would understand according to that version. As usual, we have Kasha does not mean Tiyuvda, it doesn't mean we've slugged up the second version. You could find a way to answer it, but it's difficult to understand because then he shouldn't be using the word Bilvad. So we have two different possibilities of what this discussion about what we're excluding, what it went on. Did it go on Ben Azai's statement or did it go on Abba Yossi's statement? Getting back to now before, we started the sugya by saying, what does it mean, nechosim she'en behen me'ila? On the face of it, we said, if it just meant that the concept of nizikin applies only to nichse hediyot, only to the property of a regular person as opposed to hekdesh, then the Mishnah should have just said flat out, nechosim nichse hediyot, or something to that effect. Why instead does it use the expression nechosim she'ein behen me'ila? So we started the sugya by saying that it must mean that we're talking about these are kodshim, but which me'ila doesn't apply to, namely, therefore, kodshim talim. And that meant that we had to make the b'raisa go like Rabbi Yisrael Grivi. Now the Gemara is revisiting that. Rava omer mai nechosim she'ein behen me'ila. What does the Mishnah mean when it uses the expression nechosim she'ein behen me'ila? It doesn't mean, like you said all this time, that it means nechosim to which which are kodshim, but to which me'ila doesn't apply. What's going on now? What it means is nechosim she'ein behen din me'ila. Rava says it means nechosim to which the din of me'ila does not apply at all, meaning that they don't have any kedusha at all. Umayin hu dehedya. So therefore, meaning nechosim of hedya. So therefore, you don't have to say the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yisrael Grivi. The Mishnah could very well be going points to Chachamim, who say that even kodshim talim are not considered the owner's property, and the Mishnah is just saying, if you're sure damaged a sure of belonging to of any kind of kodshim, whether kodshim kalim, then you're potter because when it says nechosim shein ben meila, just means that it has to be nechosim to which the whole concept of meila doesn't apply. So not the distinction between whether they are kodshim or not, but meaning in other words they're not kodshim at all. Ein ben meila would be another way of saying that they're not kodshim. Well, the Gemara asks, the list need to head you. Well, in that case, the Mishnah could have just said flat out, say that it means nechosim of hedya. And again, the answer is kasha. That is a kasha. Again, it's not we haven't slugged up rubber. We could find a way to infer it, but the fact is, it is difficult to understand why the Mishnah would not just say nichse hedya. So there is a point. The Oitzra Goodim brings that the question is why the Mishnah is not using a briefer lashon, but the answer is because after all you could have even if there is kedusha in them and there's not meila, we still have what we were saying before that it is considered mum and bailim. For example, what we were just saying before, we were just saying about a bechor in certain cases. So therefore, so you could say that, but on the other hand, you could say that, so maybe the Tana is saying nechosim she'en ben me'ila in order to imply that point, but maybe not. So therefore, so it's not really a stira on Rava. It's a kasha why the Tana chooses to phrase it that way, but you could say that he had a reason to phrase it that way to imply that even when it does have kedusha and the ila doesn't apply, that maybe this din wouldn't apply. Lamaisa, you have actually a machlokas aposkim, what the halacha is like in the end, in terms of, so nowadays we don't have most kodshim, but we do have a bechor. A person has an animal that's a bechor, and he has to wait until it develops a mum before he can shecht it, before the kohen can shecht it, technically, whatever, before the kohen can shecht it and eat it. What happens if during that time that bechor injures another animal or something? Is he chayiv for, or somebody else's animal injures it? Are they chayiv for the nezikin or not? That'll depend on the two different ways of looking at the Mishnah over here. Are we saying that the Mishnah is necessarily appointed of Yisrael really, and therefore that the halacha is likened, and that a b'chorb is manazeh, would be considered mum and bailim, or maybe not. On top of that, also, actually, you have earlier, where Tosfos discusses that maybe the Gemara is only saying that it's considered mum and hekdesh, and then mishochan gavaya kazahu, only when you're talking about the koyanim and their portions of the korbanos, maybe not necessarily with the Yisrael at all. Because after all, Yisrael, it's true, sometimes gets portions of the korbanos, but it's not as much of a concept of Mishochan Gavaya Kazahu. You can't necessarily, after all, the Yisrael was the original owner of the korban. So,
then, officially, the coins, right?
That's the thing. So if you bring a shlomim, for example, certain parts of it are reserved for the koyanim, the rest of it you're eating, but you can argue that the Yisrael is still considered basically the owner of the animal. And therefore, for him, it's not Mishochan Gavaya Kazahu, only the Kohen is, because the Kohen wasn't the original owner of the Korban. So then a Bechor might be different, because a Bechor, after all, you do give it to the Kohen, and then he brings it as a Korban, or nowadays waits till it develops a mum. So you have a number of different possibilities that are brought up among the poskim in terms of this, whether an owner of a Bechor is going to be liable for nezikin caused by his animal, or vice versa, whether other people will be fired for nezikin that are caused to that animal. The Gemara continues. Omer Rab Abba, Shlomim Shehiziku. Now, let's talk to the following discussion is going to assume that we're saying that we are talking about the Shlomim are considered the property of the owner. So therefore, continuation of what we said before, that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, and that certain kinds of korbanos, kodesh and kalim, are considered the property of the owner. So therefore, so we do talk about nezikin in that regard. So, Amar Rav Abba, Shlomim Shehiziku, if an animal or a shlomim causes damage, the other person, the nizik, can collect from their flesh, but not from their emurim. Now we're talking about over here, we're talking about over here where the shlomim was a tam, so therefore the payment is only being made migufoi. You only have the payment, as we learned before, is capped at the value of the animal. So like we learned previously, If the full nezek, let's say, was 500, chatzi nezek is 250, and the animal is worth only 100, then you're not paying more than 100. So now Rab Abba is saying that you collect only from the meat. The nizek is going to collect only from the meat, meaning, in other words, that when the owner brings this animal as a shlomim, the nizek will be entitled to eat from the meat in payment of the nezek, but not from the emurim. Well, Gemara says pshita. Obviously, emurim legavoya salti. The emurim are burnt on the mizbeach. How is the nizik supposed to collect from them anyway? And the answer is loy tzricha legoiva mibsorim kenegan emurim. What it means is as far as collecting from the meat corresponding to the emurim. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi gives an example. Let's say, for example, let's say you have the shirt of shlomim was worth 200 zuz. Now, chatzinez, and the one that killed another shur, also worth 200 zuz. The din is going to be then that we're saying that you pay chatzinez because the animal it was a tam, and therefore you're paying 100. What would happen? Let's say that all you're going to be able to collect is up to the value of the flesh of the shlomim. If that value comes out to be less than a mona, less than 100 zuz, that's going to be it that you're going to be able to collect. We're not going to say that you can collect more. We're not going to say that you can collect more of the meat to compensate for the fact that you're not collecting from the emurim because the emurim are being brought on the mizbeach. You're not going to say that. You're going to say that all he can collect from is the maximum is the maximum value of the meat. Of the meat itself without the emurim. Rashi on Amud Beis brings another girsa that the Gemara is saying you could do that. That you could figure out what are the value of the emurim, then figure out what's the value of the meat, and you allow him to take more of the meat in compensation of the fact that he can't take the emurim. However, Rashi points out that doesn't really fit. That doesn't really fit with the flow of the discussion in the Gemara, and therefore Rashi prefers the first explanation. On the other hand, there are Rishonim who learn that, like the second one, Gemara is saying he could do that.
But that's who he's to cut him.
No, because a shlomim, you can eat.
No, well, that could be it. That's who he's cutting. The kind of thing, but that's it. The person, the music, that the damage you did to a kind's behemoth, so you can eat them or mouse.
No, the kind can't eat them or either way, they're burnt on him as well.
So the part that goes to the coin.
No. That's the chos of a shoyk. That's right. Something else. We're not talking about that. Fine. Well, if he's a coin, you can take from the chos of a shoyk as well. Fine. Although maybe not. Maybe that's not considered your moment in the first place. Maybe that's because that's your mark for the coin. But be that as it may, the point is that the coin certainly can't eat from the emurim. No. So the Gemara asks, Aliba de man. Well, according to who is that point, when Rav Abba is saying his din, who is that going according to? Now, we're going to have later in the Masechta, we're going to have a discussion like this. We know that if my shur falls into your bur and gets killed, then you're chayav to pay me. We know also that if your shur gores my shur and kills it, you're also chayav. What happens in a case, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, where your shur pushes my animal into somebody else's bur? So you have three people involved, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven has a shur, Shimon has a burr, Levi's shur goes and pushes Reuven's animal into Shimon's burr, and it dies of it. Well, we're talking wherever the burr, no, a burr is in Rosh Hashanah. A burr is in Rosh Hashanah. So how do we deal with the payment?
Well, especially,
it has to be covered somehow, but that's what we have to figure out how. We can also distinguish, of course, whether the owner of the shur that did the goring is a tam or a balmum, because again, a shur is paying only half. Now, Rashi over here uses the expression that by a tam, the Chachamim are going to say that the owner of the shur is paying a quarter of the damage, namely half of the chatzi nezek that he would usually pay, and the owner of the burr is going to be potter because the animal was knocked in there. It wasn't his fault. If it hadn't been for the other animal pushing it, then the animal wouldn't have fallen in. If it would have been covered. But still, the fact is that it wasn't his. On the other hand, Reb Nosson holds that the owner of the burr does pay. Now, so therefore, he would say that the owner of the shur pays a quarter, and the owner of the burr pays the other three quarters. In the case of a mord, it would be half and half. Now, that's how Rashi says over here. Because what we're saying is that the owner of the shur is only partially responsible. He being a tam, usually he would pay chatzi, and because over here, there was another factor involved, because there was a burr as well. Without the burr, the animal wouldn't have gotten killed. Therefore, he only pays half of the half, which comes out to a quarter. So that's the thing. Rashi over here uses the expression that the owner, according to the Chachamim, the owner of the shur that caused the injury is going to pay one quarter, and the owner of the burr is going to be completely potter because the animal didn't fall into his burr on its own; it was pushed. On the other hand, Reb Nosson is going to say, and then by a mord, the Chachamim would say half and half. The owner of the mord, given that usually he pays full nezek, then he's going to be paying half. And the owner of the burr would be potter from the other half. Reb Nosson holds, in both cases, the owner of the burr is paying as well. Now, the thing with that is, the Maharam points out that later in the Masechta, Rashi learns differently, and Tosfos over here also quotes Rashi as saying differently. That in the case of a tam, he pays the complete half that he would have otherwise had to, and the only thing is the Chachamim was saying the owner of the burr is potter for the rest, and then in the case of a mord, he'd have to be paying the whole thing. So the Maharam in fact says that the wording in Rashi over here is mistaken, and a Talmud must have written it instead, where Rashi himself holds differently. In any case, Tosfos has a long discussion about the ins and outs of that. And one thing, Tosfos point, first of all, Tosfos does end up saying, like the way Rashi writes over here, that we're saying one quarter or one half respectively for a tam or a mord, and then the Macholikas says what happens as a bala burra to pay. Tosfos points out that, first of all, the bala burra would be potter, because again, when the Torah is saying when an animal falls in there, v'nofel shama shor hamer, then the owner of the burra is chayav, as opposed to when somebody else pushed it in there. Reb Nosson, on the other hand, Reb Nosson is going to be taking the view that whatever you can't collect from one, you have to be able to collect from the other. Meaning, in other words, again, following the way that Tosfos explains it, and the way that we have it printed in front of us in Rashi, that according to the Chachamim, in the case of the Tam, he would be paying a quarter. And the Chachamim are saying and that's it. All he's getting is a quarter of the value of the animal, half of a half. On the other hand, Reb Nosson would say that the owner of the burr is paying the other three quarters. So now, in other words, Reb Nosson is holding whatever, because the bala, if the animal had fallen into the burr on its own, he'd pay 100%. A burr, there's no such thing as tam versus mord. So Reb Nosson is taking the view, basically, whatever you can't collect from one, you should be able to collect from the other, whereas the Chachamim don't hold that way. So now, let's apply that to our discussion over here about the meat and the Emurim. You can't collect from the Emurim because they're earmarked to bring on the Mizbeach. So let's consider, when Reb Nosson is saying that you can't collect from the Emurim, and we're saying the Goyva Mibsodin Kenegan Emurim, which according to Rashi's preferred explanation means we do not say you can collect more meat to correspond to the amount of the Emurim that you would have been able to take. You can't do that. You lose out on the fact that there are Emurim involved. So again, the Rambam, when he brings this halacha, he formulates it like this. He says, let's say, for example, so again, we're talking about Chatzi Nezek. So we're talking about over here. He says, suppose that all of the meat was worth two dinar. Suppose that without a murim, it's worth a dinar and a half. So we wouldn't say, now like this, he's owed a dinar because that's chatzi nezek. We wouldn't say that he gets two thirds of the meat, which would be one dinar out of one and a half. Rather, we say he gets only half the meat. So he's getting only half the meat. So therefore, he's only getting three quarters of a dinner, and he's missing out on the fact that he would have gotten a full dinner had this animal not been an animal of hekdesh. So now the question is, Aliba the man, according to who is Reb Abba saying his din? E Aliba the Rabbanon, if he's following the opinion of the Chachamim in that case of the Shur and the Burr, Pshita. Of course, that we would say the same thing. They say just because you can't collect from one doesn't give you a right to collect more from the other. They say, in other words, you're collecting from the owner of the shur that pushed your shur into the burr. So you're collecting from him only in the case of a tam, you're only collecting part of the nezek. You're not saying then to the owner of the burr, well, I can't collect the rest of the nezek from him because his animal was a tam, therefore I demand to get it from you. The owner of the burr can say, it's not my problem, that they're not my fault that the animal that pushed yours was a tam. So then by the same token, of course, the Chachamim are going to say that since you can't collect from the Emurim, you can't collect more of the meat to compensate for that. V'iyah libedir abnasin, if you mean according to abnasin, why should you have a problem with it? After all, abnasin says you could do just that. You say to the owner of the burr, look, I've collected from the owner of the shur whatever I could. He's chayev for only a quarter or a half, as the case may be, and now you have to pay the rest, because after all, I lost the shur because it died in your burr, and therefore whatever I can't collect from him, I need to collect from you. Well, according to Reb Nosson, you should have the same thing over here. I can't collect from the emurim of your animal because the shlomim, so therefore I demand more of the meat in return. So the answer is, Ibori Seymer Reb Nosson, Ibori Seymer Rabbanon. Actually, you can say that Reb Abba's din would work according to either one of them. Ibori Seymer Rabbanon, Hani Mili B'Tirei Gufi. Because you know what? When would the Chachamim say that since you can't collect from one, then you don't have the option of collecting more from the other? That's when there's two Gufim involved. You have Shimon's Shur and Levi's Bur. So therefore, so we don't say that. And each one belongs to a different person. So therefore, so you can't say that. But when it comes to one guf, here you're talking about one shur, which contains meat and contains emurim, you could say, maybe he could say, wherever I can collect out of your animal, I'm going to. And so your animal is a tam after all, I'm collecting the guf. So therefore, I can't collect from the emurim because they're to be brought on the mizbeach, fine, but I'm entitled to more meat out of this very same animal to compensate for that. So therefore, you could have argued that, and therefore, Reb Abba is saying that you don't do that. He's only going to get half the meat, but he's not going to get more. He's not going to get more than half of the meat to make up for the emurim, right? Right. Or you could say Reb Abba's din works according to Reb Nosson. Hossam who de'omale bal shur le bal abur, because after all, in that case, with the owner of the shur that was killed can say to the owner of the burr, I found my shur in your burr. In other words, your burr is ultimately what killed my animal. Fine, it wouldn't have been in the burr if it weren't for the other fellow's shur. But after all, you bear some degree of responsibility for the death of my animal as well, because it wasn't covered. Yeah. So therefore, he has every right to collect something from the Baal HaBur, according to Reb Nosson. So whatever I can't collect from the other fellow, I'm going to collect from you. But over here, me Masi Omer Boser Azik Emurin Le Azik. Here, can the Nizak say only the flesh caused the hezek, the Emurim did not? The fact is that Emurim, especially the vital organs of the animal, are involved in the Nezek as well. So therefore, even Reb Nosson might agree that you can't, given that you can't collect from the Emurim, you can't say you should collect more of the meat to correspond to that, to compensate for that, because the fact is you don't have, unlike with the burr, you don't have the right to say that the meat caused more hezek than the Emurim did, as opposed to by the burr, where you could say that the burr at least was responsible for part of the hezek. Okay. Continues the Gemara in a similar vein. As far as an animal of kodshim that caused damage, Omar Rava Toida Shehizika. Suppose the animal that caused damage was a korban toida, and you know a korban toida is accompanied by 40 loaves of bread. So the din is goyva mibisara v'ena goyva milachva. The nizik can collect only from the meat, not from the bread. So in other words, again, we're talking about over here a tam, and we're collecting only the gufoy. And again, Tosfos points out, now Rava himself wanted to explain before that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. He wanted to say that in the Mishnah, when it said Nechosim She'ein Behem Ne'ilah, meant in general, Nechosim that are not Kodshim, according to him, when there's Kodshim, then there's no Dinim of Nezakin, necessarily he has to be saying his Din over here, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, because yeah, if it was according to the Chachamim, then there'd be nothing to talk about as far as paying for the Nezak, because he'd be Potter altogether.
Because
it's Kodshim, yeah. Anyway. So he collects from the meat, not from the bread. Meaning, in other words, again, we're saying he's entitled to tell the mazik, you have to invite me to join in eating this korban torah, and I'm going to be able to eat an amount, same thing with the shlomim as before. You have to give me an amount of the meat of the torah equal to the value of the nezek that I would have collected, but we don't say if the flesh of the animal is not enough for that, then you have to give me some of the bread as well. No, he doesn't have the right to do that.
This shlomim he could take home to his family, also in your shlomim.
Yeah, a toja is basically like a shlomim in that regard. The difference is that it's eaten anywhere in your shlomim. So the Gemara asks, lechem pshita. Well, isn't that obvious? Of course, the bread has nothing to do with the hezek. Why should we think the nizik can collect from it? The same way as we don't say the nizik can collect from any other property of the mazik. Here again, we're talking about tam. The damages are capped at the value of the animal. So of course he can't take from the lechem. The answer is sefer tzrichalei. You're right. The chiddush of what Rava is saying is really the second part of what he's going to say, where he continues, nizek oichol baser or miskaper mevi lachem. What happens in this case is that the nizek is going to be the one eating the meat of this animal, so we're going to bring the emurim on the mizbeach, as we usually do, and then after that, all the meat, or as much of it as is necessary in order to pay for the nezek, is going to go to the nizek. Bailam Mavian Lachem and Umaskapa maybe Lachem, the owner of the animal, the original owner of the Torah, is going to have to bring the bread, and he's gonna be the one who has to bring the bread. So we might ask Honami Pshita, isn't that obvious? The Nizek wasn't chayiv in a korban. Why would we think he has to bring the bread? And the answer is Mao de Tema. You might have thought, without Rava telling us, given the lechem echsheda de zevahu, since the bread is necessary for the korban to be kosher, a toida requires bread with it. Le malay, maybe the mazik should be able to say, at achalat baser v'ano aizi lechem, is it right that you're eating all the meat of the animal and I should have to bring the bread? If you're going to be eating the meat, then maybe you should be responsible to bring the bread. Kamash mulan de lechem chiyuva de bailamu, therefore Rava is telling us no, the bread is considered the responsibility of the owner, and therefore he has to bring the bread even if, as in this case, the other guy is eating all the meat in order to pay for the nezek.
All the meat is not in the shadow of the time, right?
What is it? Here we're talking about the toida. We're not talking about b'chor. Obviously chaz v'shoyt is given to the kohen. When we say all the meat, we mean all the meat that's to be eaten by the owner.
Because of what? Because of damage that is?
Yeah, in other words, so this animal killed somebody else's animal, and it was a tam. Therefore, we're talking about a tam.
Right.
So we're saying. No, because before we were talking about when there's a bur involved as well. Here we're talking about just directly, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven's animal killed Shimon's animal, and then Reuven's animal is a tam, and therefore he's paying chatzin nezek.
The
chatzin nezek again is going to be, it's going to be half the value, but if the animal of the shlomim wasn't worth very much, then it can come out, all the meat of it is going to be needed to pay for the nezek. Again, remember the scenario we were talking about before. Say, for example, that the chatzin nezek is 250, and the animal itself is worth only 100. So now, first of all, we have to deduct the emurim. As it is, once we deduct the emurim, we may be even below that. But whatever the case, the point is, it may well happen that all the meat is not going to be as much as the value of what he has to pay. To give the Rambam's example from before, we said the meat would have been the meat with the emurim would have been worth 2 dinarim. And like this, he's supposed to pay 1 dinar as chatzin nezek, and it comes out in the end that the meat is only worth 3/4 of the value of the animal. So yeah. So the point is that Rava is saying, yes, you could have a scenario where the nizek is the one entitled to eat the meat because therefore all of the meat is needed to pay off the nezek, and nevertheless, the mazik still has to bring the bread. We don't know. You can't say to the nizek, if you're eating the korban anyway, you bring the bread. That's what Rava's saying.
And the scratch of bread, half goes to the curry, half goes to the bottle.
No, one of each type of bread. There's 4 types of bread. One of each of the group of 10 goes to the curry, and the bottle boss gets the rest.
Okay.
No, it's not half and half. You have 40 loaves. You have four each. You have 10 each of four types. From each type, you give one to the Kohen, and the other nine the owner keeps and eats in your shrine.
So he just goes to the bottom.
Right. Right. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Nechosim Shein Shal Bnei Bris. We said that another criteria that you need in order for the concepts of Nezikin to apply is only if the Nechosim that were damaged belong to Bnei Bris, which means Jews. So the Gemara says, L'mo'oti Mai, as opposed to what? Apparently, Ilamo'oti De'orik Kechavim, do you mean as opposed to property of a Goy, Hokatani Lala Kaman? Well, we have later on in the Masechta where it says, Kili, Shur Shur Yisrael Shanagach Shur Shal Orik Kechavim Potter, that if a Jewish Shur gores and kills a Shur belonging to a Goy, then the Yid is Potter. Now we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. We're going to learn a limud from a posif that teaches us this concept. The Rambam says there's a logical reason behind it. He says the goyim in their legal systems, they're not necessarily machayev a person for damages caused by his ox. And in the goyish legal systems, at least of that time, they would have if you yourself cause damage, sure you're chayev. But if your ox causes damage, then you're not necessarily chayev. So we tell them, fine. Well, look, according to your laws, I'm potter. So therefore, there's no reason why it's true that our Torah says differently between Jews, but you, being that you have a different legal system, I'm not obligated to follow our legal system with you when it's for my detriment here. But we're going to learn later on in Daf Lamed Ches, we're going to talk about this.
Actually, then we said,
and it doesn't say, Bnei Dakashol, and you pay. Maybe nowadays, maybe nowadays, that the legal systems are different. Maybe because of not Dakashol, but Dinah Demachos Adina, if the government says you have to pay, then yeah. Anyway, the point is that later on in the Masechta, we say this very point. So why would our Mishnah have to be saying it over here? And the answer is Tana v'hodem mefarnish. Fine, the Tana is mentioning it briefly over here. And later on in the third paragraph, we're going to deal with it in more detail. So Tana is not a stira. So it's true. It sounds like it's extra in our Mishnah, but fine. Our Mishnah is just putting all together the basic criteria that you need for the concept of Nezakin to apply. Next, the Mishnah said, Nechosim ha-miyuchodin. It also has to be Nechosim that are miyuchodin, that are defined in their ownership. So the Gemara says, L'mo'oti mai, what does that come to exclude? Amrav Yehuda, L'mo'oti ze'om eshorcha hizik, ve'ze'om eshorcha hizik. It comes to exclude a case where two people are arguing between them which one's shor caused the damage. So you had a bunch of, a bunch of oxen belonging to different people together. One of the oxen was injured or killed, and now you have an argument among the owners of the other oxen who did it. So nechosim miyuchodim would imply, therefore, that it has to be definitively that the nezek was caused by one person, as opposed to over here, we really don't know. But the Gemara says, in that case, Hotoni l'kamon. Again, we have a Mishnah later in our Masechta that describes just that case. For Yushnaim rode for Nachayabad, if two animals were chasing after one, and eventually the animal that was being chased after got injured or killed, Zerem Ashurcha Hizik, Zerem Ashurcha Hizik, and the two owners of the other animals are arguing between them which one caused the damage, Shneim Pturin, and both of them are potter, because I'm Moitz Mechaber, Lavarayim. So we know already that din from later in the Masechta. Again, why would it have to say it over here?
We saw them both chasing,
but we don't. We say it's potter because the fact is we don't know which one caused the damage.
And we don't say if one's a mood, one's a tam, you can't say.
It's not necessarily. I mean, we're going to talk about the dinim in more detail later in the Masechta, but yeah, I don't think there's a difference between tam and mood. So the answer is again, Tony Bahadur Mafarish. Again, you could say the Mishnah is telling it briefly, and then it will give the details later on in the third paragraph. However, in a braisa, we learn a different explanation of the word nechosim am yuchodin of our Mishnah. Prat l'michse hefker. The word nechosim am yuchodin comes to exclude property of hefker. Well, the Gemara asks, so then, in other words, nechosim am yuchodin implies that it actually belongs to one person, as opposed to hefker, who doesn't belong to anybody. Well, the Gemara asks, hey, chidomi, well, what's the scenario? You're talking about where my shur injured a shur of Hefker. Of course I'm Potter. Mantolale, who's going to be demanding the payment? That's Hefker anyway. There's nobody to be demanding the payment. So of course, practically speaking, I'm Potter. Are you talking about the other way around, that a shur of Hefker gored a shur belonging to one of us? So what's the problem? Let him just go take the animal. Who's going to stop him? It's Hefker. So what do you mean? What do you mean he's Potter? And the answer is, The answer, because you're talking about somebody else in between went and was zoichen. So the animal, when it gored, was hefker. Afterwards, somebody else took this animal and said, hey, it's hefker, I'm taking it for myself. We don't make him pay for the nezakin of the animal, because at the time of the nezak, he was not yet its owner.
Right, and we don't say he should be zoichen to it because he damaged his animal.
So again, if he was zoichen at first, by all means, but if he didn't manage to, if somebody else went and grabbed it first, then yeah. Okay, Ravina Omar. Ravina gives a different answer. It comes to exclude the case, the Mishnah, when it says Nechosim HaMiuchadim, comes to exclude the case where the animal did belong to somebody at the time, but after it gored, he was makdish it, or after it gored, he was makdish it. Tanya Nami Hachi, and in fact, we learn similarly to that in the Braisa. Yesara Kain Omar of Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, besides that, Rabbi Yehuda talks about later on in the Masechta, he says, when we talk about a shur that kills a person and has to be given skila, Rabbi Yehuda says that if the shur was efter, then it's not given skila, and he learns it over there in the Gemara. And yes, Rakein Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says beyond that, even if the animal gored and then the owner was makdish it, or the animal gored and then he was makdish it, potter, then it's still going to be potter from skila, shenema v'huad b'v'olav, because the pasuk says the owner should be warned, v'hemis ish v'goymer, and then it kills a person, and then in other words, once he was warned three times, then the animal is moored. So that implies adjutei misa v'hamoda b'din shoven ke'echad. So it has to be that both the death of the person and the bringing it to Beis Din were all under the same thing. They were all under the same ownership.
Can't do after he does the damage.
So therefore, so now that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. That if he were to go and meet Mafter, the animal, then in fact it would be Potter from Skila. Now, it is true that that's only according to Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Rosh points out, the Chachamim might well agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to damages of animals. They're disagreeing when it comes to people, that you don't necessarily say the animal is going to be Potter from Skila on that basis. But they might agree with animals that in fact that's so. If it changes ownership, then in fact the owner is going to be potter. So there is some discussion among the Rishonim about that. Are we talking about only when we have like here, he was machgeret or machdishit? What about if he sold it to somebody else? Would the same din apply? From Rashi's Loshen over here that he talks about that it's all under one owner might imply that that also resets things. On the other hand, a number of Rishonim say that not, selling is different. You're getting something for it after all, so therefore you can't get away with it so easily. The Tosfos Yom Tov actually brings up another point as well, and is in his Pirush called Pilpul Harifta on the Rosh. He says, look, what's going to happen then, especially with a Mord, where he's chayev for the entire nezek of the animal. So what happens? So yeah, what's going to happen? Especially if the animal is not worth very much, is not worth as much as the nezek, he's more likely to just say, fine, I'll be mafku the animal and I'll be potter. So he's going to get away very easily with not having to pay. Even if he's mafku it, he's still losing out less. If the animal is worth only 100 and the nezek was worth 500, wouldn't it pay for him to just be mafku the animal? He's losing 100, but that way he's potter from paying the entire 500. So a number of achronim give different answers. Maybe in fact in that case he's not able to be mafku it because the nezek has a certain ownership over it already. He has a shibor on it at least. What other answers are there? Maybe in that case we wouldn't say that this din applies. Maybe it only applies with a tam for one thing. There are several different answers offered of how it's not going to be a problem that he's just going to go and be machuric and get away with paying. There are Rishonim who learn over here that this din over here is talking only about tam. So in that case, then by mord, it wouldn't be any money. And then another answer that's given is, look, suppose that afterward the animal gets lost. You can't be machter something that's not in your rishus. So therefore, you can have a scenario where the animal was lost at the time and he wasn't able to be machter it, and then we're saying then he's chayav to pay for the full damages, even if the animal was a mord.
Can you ask it whatever it is?
No, you can't be machter whatever it is. That's one answer.
Hold it?
Not hold it, but at least it has to be in front of him. That's the Gilead Marshall gives that answer. Okay. Anyway.
The main thing is that people will know that, I'm damaged now and I have to pay. Okay, I'll give it to Hegish.
Right, but that's the thing. So we're giving a few different answers why you might not be able to do that. Yeah, if he does it before it causes damage, then of course.
Before,
it, yeah, if he does it before then.
Damage doing it, so.
Right, so that's what we're discussing. Okay. So the Gemara asks, so you're saying misavaha moda bedin, you're saying that the death of the person and the bringing the person and bringing the owner and the animal to base ten has to be under the same ownership. Are you implying Gemara had din loibra inning? You're saying it's fine if by the time of the Gemara din the animal doesn't belong to him anymore, then we would still say stila harasho yisokol b'gemara din hodichtiv. The words asho yisokol are talking about after the Gemara din. So wouldn't it have to be logical that the ownership is the same from when the animal killed the person until the Gemara Din, and Ela Ema. So you're right. You have to correct the wording of the Braisa. Advocate Misavah Moda Badin Ugmar Din Shoven Kachon. All three of those things have to be under the same ownership in order for the animal to be Chayiv Skila. So again, the Chachamim might disagree with her Yehuda about that. As far as skila, as far as where the animal killed a person, but they might well agree with him when it comes to one animal killing another, that it has to be under the same ownership the entire time, and therefore, actually, the tour brings that maybe it doesn't have to be the entire time. It might be enough. For example, let's say, what if, for example, Reuven owned the animal at the time when it gored, then afterwards he was master it, then he was master it, and then he was poide, and then it was his at the time of Hamad Abedin, and again it was his at the time of Gemar Din. That might be enough, even though in between it was Hektish, or it was Hektish or Hefter or whatever. Okay. So that would be another, so again, that's another meaning of our Mishnah. When it says Nechosim Am Yuchadim, means that it belonged to the same person throughout the whole process. Okay, now we said in the Mishnah, Chutz Mirashus Am Yuchedis L'mazik, we said with the exception of Nezikin don't apply in a Rishus that's specific to the Mazik, meaning in other words, if the Nezik takes place on the Mazik's property, then he's potter. The Amale, because he can say to the Nezik, Terchav Rishusa, my body, what is your shur doing in my property? Your shur had no business coming into my property. If it got injured, it's not my problem. So that is why the Mishnah is saying that in that case, he's potter. Now, the Mishnah have continued with the words, Urashus HaNizik VaHamazik. Then you have the Rishus of the Nizik and the Mazik. So we have to figure out what is that referring to? So now the wording in the Mishnah had been like this. Urashus HaNizik VaHamazik, the property of the Nizik and the Mazik, Kshehizik, when damage is caused, Chod HaMazik, then the Mazik is liable to pay. The question is, does that word, Rishus HaNizik VaHamazik, does it refer to the previous sentence or does it refer to the following sentence? Are we saying chutz, that Nizik can apply everywhere except for the Rishus of the Mazik, and it also except for the Rishus of the Nizik and the Mazik, meaning when they own it jointly? Or do we mean that no, Rishus HaNizik VaHamazik is one of those places where the Mazik is going to be hired? So in short, if you have a chotzer that's owned by partners, and one of them ends up being the Nizik and the other one the Mazik, is he liable to pay or not? So Amr of Chista, Amr of Bimi, Chatzar HaShukfin, Chaya Baal HaShem Baal HaRegor. A chotzer that belongs to two partners, then a person would be chayiv in it for Shein V'Regor. Meaning, in other words, so Reuven and Shimon own this chotzer jointly. If Reuven goes and eats Shimon's Peiris, or steps on Reuven's Kalim, then Reuven is going to be chayiv to pay for them. Rashi adds, all the more so, Reuven will be chayiv if his animal gores Shimon's animal. That he'd be chayiv even in Rosh Hashanah. So in other words, he learns that Rosh Hashanah Nizik Mamazik refers to the last sentence. It means that that's one of those places where a person is chayiv for Nezik. So therefore that's what the Mishnah means. Chutz mirashus hamiyachedus l'mazik v'potter, where the rishus belong exclusively to the mazik is potter, but rishus hanizik v'hamazik, but if it's property that belongs to both the nizik and the mazik, then shehizik chav hamazik, then the mazik is liable if there was a hezik. So in other words, he's saying that those words, rishus hanizik v'hamazik, are referring to the end of the Mishnah. On the other hand, Rabbi Loza says, no, in such a case, you would be potter for Shane and Regal. Keren, fine, is different. He'd be chayiv for Keren, but if Reuven's animal eats or steps on things of Shimon's in this joint chotzer of theirs, then Rebbe Elazar holds that he's going to be potter. But Hachi Kama, so he says, the Mishnah is saying, chutz mereshus ha-miyachadus ha-mazik or reshus ha-nizik ha-mazik nami potter. That both of them, whether it's a reshus of the mazik, he's potter, because like we just said, he says, what's your shur doing in my, what's your shur, or what are your things doing in my chotzer? As opposed to a chotzer, and a chotzer ashrutzen would be the same way, because he would say, I have every right to have my shur in this chotzer, it belongs to both of us after all. So only when, and then the Mishnah is continuing, so then when the Mishnah continues, if the mazik causes damage, then he's chayiv, that would be last 3 keren, that comes to include, he would be chayiv for keren, in such a case. For goring, right, if the one animal gores the other. Tosfos points out that later on in the sugya, we'll continue this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk about that, we're talking about this chotzer is the kind of place where people normally store peiros, but not necessarily a place where people normally bring their animals in. So therefore, you have a reason to make that distinction between keren, that he'd be chayev, versus eating peiros where he'd be potter, as we'll continue tomorrow. But the Gemara asked, Honicha l'shmuel. Now, we have to remember that back in the beginning of the Masechta, we talked about that Shmuel holds, that we discussed, what a Shur and what a Mave among the others Nizikin. We said that Shmuel said that Mave means shame, means when the animal eats with its teeth, and Shur, we said, referred to Keren. And then we discussed why the Mishnah didn't mention Regal specifically. And then we said, according to Rab, shur meant any kind of damage that a shur could cause, whether keren, shein, or rego, and mava meant a person causing damage. So now, if we're saying that our Mishnah is including keren, honikol shmuel, so that works out well according to Shmuel, we could say that, I said it wrongly. He says that shur over there means rego, and mava means shein. So far we haven't talked about keren yet in terms of Ovis Nizikin. So now our Mishnah would be including the words shehizik chava mazik in order to include keren. But according to Rav, that says that the word shur means all the different damages that a shur could cause. So we already have keren included. So what are the words chava mazik of our Mishnah coming to include? And the answer is la'asuya hodetanya. It comes according to the Tana Rabbanan. It comes to include this that we learn in a braisa. Shehizik chava mazik. It comes to include any of the 4 shemim. She is zika behema b'shusan, where the animal that they are watching caused, where an animal caused nezik in the reshus. Tam mashalim chatzin nezik and one mashalim nezik shalim. And we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow. What does that mean? Does that mean that the shomer's own ox caused damage to the ox that was deposited with him for safekeeping? Does it mean the animal that was deposited with him for safekeeping itself caused damage? We're going to discuss that point tomorrow. But anyway, the Braisa is adding that the words shehizik chov hamazik of our Mishnah are coming to include that scenario where you have the usual rules of tam and mord. On the other hand, nifritz abalayla, if the barn that the animal was in was broken open by night, osha pratsua listin, or if robbers broke it open, the yotzavizika, and it went out and caused hazik potter, then he's potter because then it's an onus, because then he did what he was supposed to as far as watching it, and it's not his fault that it got out. So we'll analyze that more in detail tomorrow. The point is, we're saying, according to Rav, that would be what the shehizik chov hamazik of our Mishnah is coming to include, that case of a shomer. Whereas according to Shmuel, we can say, like Rabbi Elazar said, that the word shehizik chov hamazik comes to include keren, which until now we haven't mentioned in the Mishnah keren as one of the obvious nizikim.